Our Old Testament reading this morning is from the book of Genesis, chapter 1, the first 5 verses. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was formless and void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. Thus ends the reading of God's word. The first New Testament reading is found from the book of the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verses 4 through 11, the baptism of Jesus. John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thongs of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart, and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven that said, "You are my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." And the second New Testament reading comes from Acts of the Apostles, chapter 19, verses 1 through 7. Paul is in Ephesus. And now, to understand a little bit about this, Ephesus is a port city. Ephesus was, shall we say, the Las Vegas of the day, Sin City, where you went to hide, where the major statement was, "Are you new in sailor or new in town sailor?" And so Paul, working in Ephesus, has a task cut out for him. While Apollos was in Corinth, Paul passed through the interior regions and came to Ephesus, where he found some disciples. He said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you became believers?" They replied, "No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." Paul said, "John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who was to come after him, that is, in Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. Altogether, there were about 12 of them." Thus ends the reading of God's word. How's your hearing? How well do you hear? For many people, that's a question that raises issues because it's one of the senses that for many of us diminishes as we get older. The eyes dim, but generally can be corrected with glasses. The ears lose their resiliency and it becomes harder and harder to hear. There have been vast improvements in hearing aids in the last 20 years, but differentiating from background to foreground is still a problem for some. Differentiating from high pitches to low pitches is sometimes tough to do. We know physiologically that the range of hearing that goes first are the higher ranges, right about the range where women's voices are. There are some theories on that. It may be that it starts for boys when they are teenagers and their mothers are talking to them and they tune that out, and after not using it for a while, it gets lost. It may be that men have to hear so much at that range over a period of time that it wears out as women are talking to the men. One third, it's estimated, of all people have some type of significant hearing loss. Those of you who said until you were blue in the face to your children and grandchildren, turn that down, you'll go deaf, may find some small comfort in the fact that you were right. The baby boomers, those who are in their 50s, 60s, and 70s now, have more hearing loss than any other generation. Hearing is difficult when physical things get in the way. It's even more difficult spiritually. If we are trying to hear the voice of God, that things get in the way of that. Our readings today speak of the voice of God. They tell us what happens when God speaks. The question is, how's your hearing? Are you listening? The earth was without form and void, and God spoke, and creation begins. Psalm 29 says, "The voice of the Lord is powerful, the voice of the Lord is majestic, the voice of the Lord is over many waters, the voice of the Lord thunders over the mighty waters." The Spirit of God speaks. And the voice of God through people after they are baptized as they speak in tongues. So Paul lays hands on them and they begin to prophesy, which means to speak the word of God. Jesus is baptized and God sends out a rebirth announcement. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." God speaks and things happen. Things happen and God speaks. God's voice is heard and we are transformed. God's voice shines forward and the world changes. God's voice comes and we are changed. The question is, how's your hearing? The question becomes, are we hearing the voice of God? And once we hear it, do we listen and act upon it? Jesus said, "I call my sheep. My sheep are those who believe in me. The believers hear my voice. They know me, and I know them." Those who do not belong to Jesus do not recognize what he is about. They don't recognize that he is even speaking. They go about with fingers in their ears, not listening to the way God speaks to us throughout life. They have a trained deafness because they choose not to hear. For a long time, we had this great dog, this English Springer Spaniel by the name of Bootsy. Bootsy was all black except for her feet, which were white, so it looked like she was wearing boots, and so my wife and kids named the dog Bootsy. And Bootsy loved to play. This dog was more playful than any dog I've ever known. You would be sitting there watching TV or doing something at a desk, and Bootsy would go get a toy out of her basket and bring it and put it on the ground in front of you. And if you didn't respond, Bootsy would go get another toy and bring it and put it in front of you. In fact, there were times when I'd be working at my desk and I'd turn around and there was Bootsy sitting there like this looking at me with 8 toys lined up in front of me. She didn't care which one you picked. She just wanted to play. We would go outside and we'd throw the ball, or the kids would have her outside and throw the ball. And this dog would go until literally she would fall over from exhaustion from playing the ball. And if you threw it one more time, she would go get it. Bootsy loved to play so much that she would play with anybody at any time. That was part of the problem. She was not very discriminating. So the kids would be out in the front yard playing ball with Bootsy, and a neighbor would come out of their house and look over and wave, and Bootsy would get the ball that the kids threw and run across the street to the neighbor. And no matter how much the kids hollered or how much my wife hollered, "Bootsy, come back here," Bootsy would keep going towards the neighbor. But if I hollered and I clapped and said, "Bootsy, come back," Bootsy would stop dead and turn around and come home. In fact, there were times when I would be sitting in the living room and the kids would open the door and say, "Dad, will you holler for Bootsy?" And I would sit in the living room and holler for Bootsy so that she came home. My lower voice, the dog knowing the consequences of not listening, the clapping hands meant business. Even when it meant more play from the neighbors, she hears and returns. Bible study, prayer, looking and listening for the actions of God in the world, listening to the stories of God's intervention in each other's lives, we train ourselves to hear the word of God, to hear God speaking to us. I'm sure you've been in situations where you recognize by words spoken, by actions taken, by a demeanor of helpfulness, of compassion or service, you've run into people who you know are Christians. You recognize them as believers. They show it by the manner of their life. You may recognize them because of a symbol that they have on. A WWJD bracelet, what would Jesus do? A dove bracelet. Or pin, a fish pin, a cross around their neck. You see in the manner of their lives, you see in the way they live, you see in what they say, you see in how they represent themselves, that they are part of God's people. And you listen to them, and oftentimes we will find the voice of God speaking through them to us. We look and we find that God can enliven our lives through the lives of other people and elevate us. Other times, the voice of God is an internal voice to us. It makes sense to us that we're doing something. Sometimes we pray and all of a sudden circumstances come up and we just know that God has placed these circumstances in our path and we must make a choice. Malcolm Gladwell, a world-renowned author, has written two books, one of them called Blink and the other called The Tipping Point, where he uses scientific evidence to show that all types of things happen in our lives that inform us what snap decisions that we should make and why those decisions make sense for us. We call that intuition, but we as believers call that the voice of God speaking to us. We get that sense, that feeling of what is right. Another way we know the voice of God is that we are overwhelmed by the circumstances and left only with one choice. That's what my brother prays for. He tells me, Gary, I'm not smart enough to follow what God says, so I pray that I get put in a box so that the only choice I can make is the one that God wants me to make. That is the voice of many thunders deafening out all other choices in order to make our process easier. So how's your hearing? The Master knows us, and we know the voice of the Master. We hear the words of Jesus in prayer, in worship, in study, in friends, in circumstances, but that's not enough. We have to do something about it. I started seminary when I was 23 years old and finished the program when I was 27. One of the guys in our seminary class was known as the old guy. He was 39. He was the old guy amongst all of us in our 20s in seminary, and he had, in our opinion, an awful lot of life experience. His dad died when he was 12. He had served in the army for 4 years. He had been a middle school music teacher. That'll give you a lot of experience dealing with middle school students. A middle school music teacher for over a decade. He was known as the old guy. And one time I said to him, why is it that after all of this time, at age 39, you finally come to seminary? And he said, I heard the call of God when I was in my late teens to go into the ministry, and I refused to listen. And God kept calling me, and finally, I decided to respond. You see, for many years, I wanted to do it my way. But then I chose to listen and act upon it. To hear is one thing, to follow is something completely different. Just as the spoken word creates and recreates, so the actions of faith transform us and others around us. In Hebrew thinking, A word is not just a thought expressed. A word is a force, a creative action. It's a thing that makes other things possible. It's an activity that stays. It's beyond uttering and hearing because it has a lasting effect. God speaks to John the Baptist and Jesus and others present at the baptism only after Jesus is baptized. The believers in Ephesus speak in tongues, speak from the Holy Spirit, only after hands are laid upon them. Just as we judge people by the responses of action, we see faithfulness not in hearing the words, but in verifying the words through activity. We say this in lots of ways. We tell children, slow obedience is the same as disobedience. Don't listen to the words, hear what the actions are saying. Actions speak louder than words. Don't tell me, show me. Our response says not only that we hear, but that we are committed to do what has been said to us. I ran across a story a number of years ago that fascinated me. It was a story of a faithful Christian man who was driving down the interstate in Southern California. And he was driving down the interstate, and as he was driving and he was doing what he normally did when he drove, he sang praises to God, and he was driving. You see, he was in California. He really needed to sing praises to God while driving on the interstate. So he's singing praises to God, and he sees a woman on the side of the road with her car broken down. And he hears the voice of God saying to him, you should help her. And he passes her up because he didn't have time to stop. And he decides that he will check this out some more. So he gets off the interstate and goes down on the road and goes under the interstate and comes back up and drives on the other side of the road just to see if somebody may have stopped to help her. He looks from the other side of the road and he sees nobody has stopped to help her. So he goes up to the next exit and goes down off the exit, goes under the interstate and comes back. And he's driving down and he's saying, surely somebody would have helped her already. And he gets stuck in the middle lane and he sees that she's still standing there and looks distraught. And he feels the presence of God say to him, you should help her. And so he does the same thing. He goes down the exit, comes up, goes back the other way, goes down the exit, comes back, and he pulls up behind the woman. And he says, do you need help? And she says, my husband is ill. I need to get to him in the hospital. Can you help me? Can you change my tire? And he said, sure, I'll help you. And he goes to get her spare out of the trunk, and there is no spare there. And he looks and he recognizes that because he has a similar make of car, that his spare will fit on her car. And he says to God, listen, I will help her, but I'm not giving her my tire. And the woman says, please, my husband is very ill. I need to get to him. Can you help me? I'll get your tire back to you. Give me your name and number and your address. And so he thinks it's crazy, but he does it, and he puts his tire on the car, gives his name, address, and off she goes, thinking he's just been duped that he'll never see it again. About 2 months later, he comes home, and his wife meets him at the door, and she's laughing, and she's giddy, and she has tears in her eyes. And he says, what's going on? And he walks in. And as he's walking up the stairs, he sees his tire sitting on the side of the porch. And he walks in, and they have the largest TV that was made at that time with a little note that says, your kindness to me was an answer to my prayer. Because of your actions, I was able to be at the bedside of my husband when he died. Signed, Mrs. Nat King Cole. He listened, even though he didn't think it was the best idea. We find ways to serve. Why? Because it makes life easier? No. To be of a servant mentality makes life more complicated. We volunteer and we create programs and work to help others because we hear the voice of God and respond. That's what the mission conversation is all about here, and that's what you will do with your emphasis each month. We give our money not because we don't want it or we can't think of something to buy with it, but because it transforms us by giving and it transforms others by receiving. We take time to worship and learn and pray, not because we have a lot of time to spare, but because we need to be transformed from the inside out. We respond to God's voice because it continues the process of transformation that began when we first became believers. By putting off the old way and taking on, our task as believers is to improve our hearing, is to listen for the word of God in our lives. It's all around us. It's how we improve our spiritual hearing by paying attention to what God is doing. God is speaking to you this week. Listen for the voice of God. Listen and respond with the actions of faithfulness. Let us pray. Almighty God, we do give you thanks and praise that you would deem us worthy to hear your voice and that you will guide us in our lives. Help us to improve our hearing. Help us to be attuned to your calling to us. Help us to be servants of the Most High God. In Jesus' name, amen.